So two billionaires flew into space this week, Branson and Bezos. Of course, billionaire Elon Musk has been working SpaceX really hard. But I did a Moving Back to America segment this week called Four Billionaires, because there are four billionaires who have built their own private space programs. And the fourth one is Paul Allen. That show is about space program. This show is about something else that Paul Allen has done that is wonderful and basically selfless and seems to be typical of the man who was basically a very modest guy who just wanted to do good. And I want to talk a little bit about the RV Petrel, research vessel, the Petrel. Paul Allen funded the most advanced research surface ship in the world. And he gave them the money to go out there and essentially gave them one task. He said, I want you to find every important shipwreck that ever went to the bottom of the ocean. Now, most of those are from World War II. A lot of stuff went to the bottom of the ocean in World War II. But Petrel itself has found Musashi, found the Yorktown, found the USS Indianapolis. I don't know how many they found. They found something like 25 or something. And they continue to go out there on a daily basis. So, gentlemen, here's the topic for today. Not just the genuine philanthropical nature of this, or even the technological wonders of these new super high definition sonar, where you would just practically read the nameplate off of a ship from sonar. Why is it important, Steve, do you think, that we find these wrecks? I mean, if you want to talk about like a vanity project or something, you can say, okay, great, well, space is in the future, but these wrecks have been at the bottom of the ocean and they're not coming up. What possible reason would there be to go and find them?
Well, it's the same reason we go to museums to see great works of art. The problem is something like the Indianapolis, you can't go and see. I don't know how many thousands of feet down. But
you can now because of Paul Allen.
Exactly. And that brings a sense of reality to something that is something you see in a book. And usually the only way you can do that for something as unseeable as a shipwreck is to do it through the arts. Probably my favorite soliloquy in movie history is Robert Shaw in Jaws.
It's one of the best things ever filmed ever.
He plays Quint. I'm sure I know you know this scene. They're all getting drunk on board that dinky little, you're going to need a bigger boat chasing that massive great white. And they're pretty lit and they're comparing scars, and then the mood changes and it gets real serious. And Spielberg does this brilliant thing where he very slowly zooms in on Robert Shaw as he's telling the story of the sinking of the Indianapolis. Now, for our viewers who don't know the story, the Indianapolis was a heavy cruiser, served admirably in World War II, and it delivered the parts for the first atomic bomb to the island of Tinian, where all the B-29s were training up for this one mission. There's a very specialized fleet of B-29s. And it was a top secret mission. They were under radio silence. And after having delivered the bomb parts to Tinian, the Indianapolis was ambushed by a Japanese submarine, took, I want to say, four hits, direct hits to the hull. It went down in minutes.
Best.
A crew of 800 men, shark-infested waters, and because they were under radio silence, nobody knew they were missing. And those men linked arms and fought off the sharks as best they could. And I can't remember how many men went into the water, 800 or so. Fewer than 100 came out, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think off the top of my head, I think Quint's line is 800 men go into the water, 193 come out.
Yeah.
Sharks got the rest.
Just.
But we delivered the bomb.
Yeah. Yeah. Just one of the most brilliant acting. It's the best thing Robert Shaw ever did. Maybe the best thing Spielberg ever did. And that's high praise for two very talented men in that field. But it's one thing to see an actor, hear an actor deliver lines that somebody else wrote, somebody who was not on board the Indianapolis, I don't think. It's quite another to see those pictures, to see that video come back from the depths of the Pacific Ocean and go, wow, that's the ship that went down. So to the late Paul Allen, all I can say is thank you so much. And to that vessel and that crew that are still doing that good work, God bless you and please keep it up.
Absolutely. I don't know what it cost to operate the petrol, Scott, or how much money he put into it. But in the grand scheme of billionaires, it's not a huge amount of money. But this is the kind of thing that I think sets Paul Allen apart from so many other billionaires, is he seems to have a sense of the human about him. We go looking for these shipwrecks, I think, Scott, for the same reason that we're determined to recover the remains of soldiers who've been lost in Vietnam for 45 years or 50 years, right? We want them back. We want something of them back. We want to know, yes, it happened, and we want confirmation that it happened, and we want to know where they are, and we want them resting in peace. But there is a very fundamental human need to go and find our dead and missing.
And in a very real way, doing that does nothing for the dead. Whether the bones of a man are buried in the mud in a jungle in Vietnam or in a field in Indiana does nothing at all for that person that we've lost. It may bring some sense of closure to the family, and that can be a useful thing. But what it does is send a signal about the kind of people we are. And what Paul Allen has done is send a signal about the kind of people we should be. The kind of people who look at a ship at the bottom of the ocean and don't just say, well, that's just a hunk of tin that went down and is not coming back. What you say when you find that vessel and mark its location and bring back pictures from it is not only that this happened and that it mattered, but that the sailors on the deck and below deck of that ship mattered. That it is important to our society to recall the awful price of the freedom that we enjoy today, and that the contribution that they made. I can't tell you how many times I've seen a man in our store or out in public in some other place wearing a hat to commemorate a ship that he may have been aboard for 18 months, 45 years ago. It matters. It is a unique kind of contribution that people make to your happiness. And the fact that Paul Allen's crews are still out there looking for these ships, I see as a somber, almost sacred duty.
That is precisely the way to put it. That's a sacred duty. That's exactly right.
Can I add one thing that Scott
please,
just made me
please,
think of?
Please, please,
please. The other reason you fight to bring those remains back is what it tells the guys who haven't yet served, which is
that's
no matter
exactly
what.
Right. That's exactly right. So for me, with the petrol, and every time we discover one of these wrecks, which is happening, they find four or five a year, things that have been lost for 70, 80 years. It just got it. So one of them is when you see, I mean, look, I'm an historian. I just finished Americans Forgotten Heroes, and I talked, one of those episodes was on the Doolittle Raid, and the Doolittle Raid bombers left on the Hornet, and the Hornet was sunk not long afterwards. Okay, I know that to be true, but I never saw the Hornet sail. I didn't serve aboard the Hornet. That is a story. That might as well be the story of King Arthur, really. You can get right down to it. I mean, I wasn't there for either one of them. But when you see that deck and that hurricane bow coming out of the murk, and you realize we have found the Hornet, it makes all of that history real. It makes it real. This really happened. People stood right in that doorway. That alone is worth it. But ultimately, I think both Steve and Scott have got the main point. We have an expression in this language, and the expression is we honor the dead. And Scott really put his thumb on the paradox of this. How do you possibly honor the dead? The dead don't know that they're being honored. The dead don't know what Scott said, they're buried in Vietnam or Indiana or at the bottom of the ocean. They're dead. They don't care. When we talk about honoring the dead, what we're really talking about is honoring the living. And that's really what it comes down to. What we are saying when we go to these enormous troubles and expenses to bring our people home is that our people are not cannon fodder. They're not just swabs that are rowing slave ships and chained to their oars and going down. That these were individual people with individual lives, and we are going after them to find them because they matter. They mattered then and they matter now. And that is a sacred duty to find these grave sites, which is what they are. and to bring back to all of us a sense that this really happened. Many people are too young to remember this, but for certainly the first half of my life, the idea that the Titanic could ever be found was simply just not possible. It's at the bottom of the Atlantic out there. It's gone. It's gone. Turns out it's not gone. It's still there. And when you see that bow on the Titanic, you realize, no, this isn't just a story. This isn't just a movie. This really, really, really happened. So, Paul, I guess I'm honoring the dead right now, the memory of Paul Allen, who parted with some of his hard-earned cash to make our history come back alive and to bring, if not the men back, then the memory of the men, and to show the people currently serving that we will not forget them, come hell or, in some particular cases, high water. For Steve Green and Scott Ott, I'm Bill Whittle. We'll see you next time right here on Rite Aid.